Can we bow in prayer, please? Father, in mercy on me, in mercy on each soul here tonight, shelter us under the blood of Christ. And by the Holy Spirit, quicken thy word and our hearts to seek thee. In Jesus the Christ's name, amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. Remember, now, thy Creator. In the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure, I have no pleasure in them. Neither be partakers of other men's sins. Neither be partakers of other men's sins. 1 Timothy 5, verse 22. Proverbs 1, verse 10. If sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Verse 15, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil. Their feet run to evil. The wicked are like a troubled sea. It cannot rest. It cannot rest. Isaiah 57, verse 20. They weary themselves. They weary themselves to commit iniquity. They weary themselves to commit iniquity. Jeremiah 9, verse 5. Which drinketh iniquity like water. Which drinketh iniquity like water. Job 15, verse 16. Giving themselves over to fornication. Giving themselves over to fornication, Jude verse 7, that they may do evil with both hands earnestly. Micah 7 verse 3. Who hate the good and love the evil. Who hate the good and love the evil. Micah 3 verse 2. They that hate the righteous. They that hate the righteous. Psalm 34, verse 21. It is an abomination
to fools to depart from evil. It is an abomination to fools to depart from evil. Proverbs 13, verse 19. He that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. Isaiah 59, verse 15. He that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. Literally, will be looked upon and treated as insane. Will be looked upon and treated as insane. He that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. Isaiah 59, verse 15. Yea, and all who will live godly in Christ Jesus. All who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5, verse 10. Choosing rather to suffer affliction. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Hebrews 11, 25. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. Ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. 1 Peter 4, verse 13. Verse 15. Let none of you suffer as an evildoer. Let none of you suffer as an evildoer. Verse 16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God. Let him glorify God in this behalf. But let not thine heart envy sinners. But let not thine heart envy sinners. Proverbs 23, verse 17. Which cause the righteous to go astray into an evil way. Proverbs 28, verse 10. And taketh away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Isaiah 5, verse 23. Be not deceived. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Evil company undermines and destroys decency. God says, be not deceived. Oh, let not thine heart envy sinners, which cause the righteous to go astray into an evil way, and taketh away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners, undermine and destroy decency, God says. He that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. Proverbs 12:11. He that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. That is, evil association is the result of rejecting the protection of your God-given conscience and common sense, literally. Evil associations is the result of rejecting the protection of your God-given conscience and common sense. He that followeth vain persons is void of understanding, God says, Proverbs 12:11. Fools make a mock at sin. Proverbs 14:9. And a companion of fools, a companion of fools shall be destroyed, God says. Proverbs 13:20. Fools make a mock at sin, and a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Blessed is the man, God says, that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He will never allow himself to be influenced by the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. He will never accompany the ungodly sinners to their places of ungodliness and sin, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Oh, if a man allows the ungodly to influence him, he will swiftly find himself accompanying them to their places of sin and evil, and in no time he will be sitting with them, scorning, despising, mocking the godly. God warns. God warns you. Incline not my heart. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with wicked men. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity. Psalm 141:4. Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. Proverbs 24:1. Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. neither desire to be with them. God cries, not me. For you not to be destroyed by sin. In his love to you, not me. I could pursue a life of fun and ease with riches, games, and other things that please. The hardships of my path I could evade and follow steps my Lord has never laid. But leaving all my hopes and dreams behind, I trust that I shall greater riches find. I glory in my weakness and my pain, for earthly loss will bring eternal gain. I could pursue acceptance from all men and fear the grave, the stake, the lion's den. I could pursue a well-known, honored name and seek approval, praise, and earthly fame. I choose instead affliction with my Lord, esteeming his reproach as my reward. I glory in my weakness and my pain, for earthly loss will bring eternal gain. To follow Christ is foolish to the world, but when the sinners into hell are hurled, and fools for Christ have not a single fear, then who was truly foolish will be clear. Without exception, every man's a fool. I choose for Christ and bear the ridicule. I glory in my weakness and my pain, for earthly loss will bring eternal gain. So leaving all my hopes and dreams behind, I trust that I shall greater riches find. I choose instead affliction with my Lord, esteeming his reproach as my reward. Without exception, every man's a fool. I choose for Christ and bear the ridicule. This know also, in the last days, perilous times shall come. This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. 2 Timothy 3:1.
Verse 12.
Yea,
and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, God says, in the last days. I want us to take careful note. We need to take careful note. It does not say all who profess to be Christians will suffer persecution, but all that will live godly in Christ Jesus. There's a great difference, beloved. There's a great difference. The next verse says,
but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Evil men and seducers, literally meaning evil imposters, evil men who are imposters of Christianity in the last days, shall wax worse and worse. Deceiving and being deceived in their deception, in their own deception, being deceived. They will deceive multitudes in the light of the rest of the scriptures concerning the eschatology of the last days. This is speaking about the masses will be influenced by evil men who are imposters of Christianity. While they profess to know God, they deny Him in works, in their works. In their works, they deny Him, Titus 2, verse 12. It's a fearful verse. While they profess to know God, they deny Him. In their works, they deny Him, God says. Fearful words. Are you one of them? Answer God. I dare you. Evil men and seducers, men who are evil, who are imposters of Christianity in the last days, shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. In their deception, they will oppose the scriptures. They will reject the truth of this book. They will undermine and attack while they profess to know Christ across the world in their masses in the very last days, which we're in. Don't doubt it. And are you not scared? As a Christian, then I don't think you are a Christian. Because this isn't me, this is God's words. They will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, in its context there, this is saying they will deceive others as they oppose the scriptures, undermine the scriptures, attack the scriptures, reject the scriptures, the truth, that is. They'll do it openly while they profess to know Christ. In their more and more, they just become increasing in their numbers. The masses will be influenced by them. That's fearful to me. That's fearful to me. Yea, all that will live godly in this room and anywhere in this world in the last days in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving. And being deceived. That's deception. Deception. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, God says. 2 Timothy 4, verse 3, verse 4. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth. They shall turn away their ears from the truth. That's literal insanity in religion. To profess to know God and reject His word isn't just evil, it's insanity. It's insanity. The time will come when they will not endure. They will not endure sound doctrine. That's fearful. Fearful to me. Yea, truth faileth. Truth faileth. Isaiah prophesied of the gospel dispensation in the last days. Of the gospel dispensation in its context. The book quoted more in the New Testament than any other book in the Bible, the Old Testament, as the fulfillment of every single thing concerning Christ and what will happen, including the judgment and thereafter, all in Isaiah, the gospel according to, in its context, yea, truth faileth. Truth faileth. And he that departeth from iniquity, he carries on with the sentence, maketh himself a prey. Dangerous, perilous times we're living in, beloved, that God's warned us will be, and we're in it. You have to be so totally blind not to know it that it's fearful for you if you don't know it. Time will come. They will not endure. In its context, it's speaking about those who profess Christ, not the wicked. Who in their wickedness, while they profess to know Him, deny by their works, they reject deceiving others in their masses and being deceived by those who reject and undermine the Bible. They will not endure sound doctrine. Turn away their ears from the truth. It's fearful to me, beloved. Is it fearful to you? Over the centuries, faithful preachers have prayerfully and solemnly climbed the steps of a wooden structure known throughout Christendom as the pulpit of God. Strung over the lectern of that wooden structure is a velvet cloth with the words, "Thus saith the Lord," embroidered in golden letters. "Thus saith the Lord." But today, most preachers who are faithful across the entire world, especially the West now, they climb the steps of a wooden structure at their own peril. If they're going to be honest with that statement, conscious that what they're doing now is climbing onto a scaffold upon which a noose is placed around their neck as they open this book. To declare its contents, the hangman. On the one side of the pulpit stands the law of our lands.
angrily waiting for him to say anything out of that book as it stands, that they have outlawed as hate speech and defamatory defamation against people's choice and rights that oppose this book. And he is fearfully conscious, the faithful preacher, that freedom of speech is denied him with that book, in that structure, but given to everyone on earth that rejects that book, that opposes that book, that undermines that book, that hates that book, that professes Christianity, I'm talking about. On the other side of the pulpit stand the religious lost, the academic, unsaved, unregenerate preachers and professing Christians who, in their intolerance of the truth as it stands uncompromised, their fear of it ever being dared to preach, they stand there in indignation and fear that any preacher is left on earth that might actually say that, dare to proclaim it. The judgments of God upon sinners, the commandments of God against sin, and his eternal judgment and damnation to those who will not repent and seek his grace to depart from evil. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from evil, God says. Have you? Oh, please answer God. What on earth are you doing here if you're not here for God? It's sacrilege. It's blasphemy. Answer God. Are you? Have you answered? Have you? I dare you to have the courage to answer God, who's going to judge you. Oh, here are his hangmen. He, together with all of Christendom, are more conscious of the real danger of what really is happening. They are fearfully conscious of what is happening because they know, he knows, that if one facet of this book is denied legally, as a crime, a criminal offense, if one facet of this book is outlawed as hate speech, just one facet of God's commandments on one sin, they know this is just paving the way. This is just opening the door to the day that this book will be outlawed entirely. I'm not talking about the little stories of David and Goliath. I'm talking about God's commandments to men against sin and his eternal judgments and his assurance, be not deceived. No unrighteous person shall enter the kingdom of heaven. And then he names the sins we reject to be preached, one after the other. And don't get me wrong. I'm not like the masses of preachers and Christians today who, for some reason, that one sin that has been outlawed, they harp on. No, brother, in Romans 1, there are 28 sins equally damnable. And in the light of the New Testament, let me tell you something. Lust is adultery. Just looking on a woman to lust after you've committed. Be careful to condemn one sin. I'm not interested in that one, making it above others as if it's unredeemable. No! Sin is sin, sir. I haven't got one iota of any carnality or ignorance of the book in me to isolate that one sin as damnable above others. No ways. You go to the same damnation with the 28, 27 other sins strewn through the Bible, sir. No, don't get me wrong, but I am fearful
of what is happening with that one sin, because I guarantee you within a short time, all sin will be defamation. All sin named by God and condemned with eternal damnation and judgment will be swiftly put into place. To those whose lifestyles, whose choice of lifestyles contradict this book, oppose the teachings, the rejection of God upon them, and the damnation, oppose that even teach, trust me, that's just the door being opened. Trust me, the way has been paved. And that is why we fear not just this one sin that has now been given liberty. That's trash to believe. That's what we're fighting against. That's total ignorance of what's really happening. And I fear for you, even if you're a preacher, if you're just worried about the one sin and harp about that. No! No. Just watch. It's coming so swiftly that I guarantee there's not one person in this room that won't remember this sermon and tremble when they see it coming. I guarantee you that. Not one. That's of an age of understanding. Be careful what you do with this sermon in this meeting or en route anywhere in this world. And they seem to throw these sermons around the world in spite of the multitudes that hate me for preaching only God's word. In a time when God's word is a bore by most professing Christians as it stands. Christian, faithful, fundamental, evangelical, in and out of the pulpit are conscious, fearfully conscious, that they, when they take this book to say, thus saith the Lord, now climb a wooden structure as dangerous as the stake. And they are bound to that wooden structure, no matter what the consequences, by their calling from God, their commission from God, and the responsibility to the souls whose blood will be on their hands if they don't warn. You think God's warnings are God's judgment? God's warnings, even Jonah knew, meant God longed to show mercy on. God's judgments have one thing in God's heart in giving them, to show mercy, compassion, and salvation to those who will repent by His grace. Be delivered and kept, not from temptation, but from the sin that God promises. The sins, sir, not one sin. Don't be so foolish as to escalate one isolated sin above others. That's heretical. Sir. Jeremiah cried out fearfully in chapter 20, verse 8, the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me. The word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision, a danger, daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart. His word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. That's a preacher. Otherwise, I doubt you ever were sent by God to preach. Oh, how many preachers across the world today are crying out what Jeremiah cried out. I cannot. The cost is too great. The consequences, the cost of preaching against the law and all that comes against you to undermine and destroy you by people who will destroy you if you preach these things against them. They will manipulate and do anything to destroy you. I cannot speak anymore. I will not. I dare not. I can't face the consequences. The cost is too great.
Oh, the great question hovering across the whole world today, in case you don't hear it being asked, is, will God say of this generation of evangelicals, I'm not talking about just the men in the pulpit, they were not valiant for the truth upon the earth. Hosea 8, verse 1. They were not valiant for the truth upon the earth. Oh, preacher. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 7. Even things without life, even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself? Who shall prepare himself for the battle? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself for the battle? Oh, preacher, set the trumpet to thy mouth. Set the trumpet to thy mouth. Hosea 8, verse 1. Set the trumpet to thy mouth. Take the sword of the Spirit, preacher. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. For the Word of God is quick, powerful, it's living, God said. It's living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing. Oh, as Stephen, that's Hebrews 4, verse 12, as Stephen preached in Acts chapter 7, men were cut, God says. Men were cut to the heart, verse 54, and stopped their ears, verse 57, and cast him out of the city, verse 58, and stoned him. And John Huss of Bohemia ascended a wooden structure elevated for all to see and hear. Fearfully and prayerfully.
his last defense of the truth in that wooden structure as they called upon him angrily to recant forever your beliefs and your teachings. His last proclamation of truth and defense of the word were these staggering words. To preach the truth is more important than life. To preach the truth is more important than life. It's interesting, and I've wept at what those men said as the flames melted their hands while their eyes and their voices. He sang. He sang. Praises to God. The great Leonard Ravenhill cried in this crucial hour of human history, let me make up the sufferings of Christ. In this crucial hour of human history, let me make up the sufferings of Christ.
I have another section to the sermon that's going to destroy me, if that matters to you. The scriptures of God challenging nations that forget the Lord and reject his word. I won't preach that tonight. Can we stand?